Okay, Boker Tov, everybody. Yen Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. Hope everybody is well. Thank you so much for joining us. So this is our last year for a little while because we're not meeting till after Pesach. Okay. So I will post on the chat when the next year meets Be'ezer Hashem. It's our final year before Pesach. We should all enjoy Be'ezer Hashem, a meaningful and uplifting Chag Kasher V'Sameach. And the Geula Bekarov. I thank our sponsor very much, who told me to start without her because she thinks she's not even able to make the shiur. And when a sponsor can't join and she still chooses to sponsor the shiur and be responsible for the Habatza Satorah, Tizkul Mitos, the Maisim Tovim, the Rebbe Sha'am should repay her and her family with only Shafa Bracha, Ameni Shabbasos, celebrated with Katusha, with Tahara, with great Simcha. Okay, so let's get into our shiur learning right away. Okay, thank you so much, everybody. The day's getting a little bit longer. So we have some, for those of us who are the diehard Shabbos Kodesh fans, so to speak, we join the whole year. But for those of you who feel pressured in the winter, you have some more time. So it's nice to be able to learn and welcome Shabbos in with some Divrei Torah related to Shabbos Kodesh. So we are speaking about last time we had a beautiful piece, if you remember, from Moshe Feinstein Zatzal on the Mishkan and Shabbos. Okay. And why in the different parashas, Kitisa and Vayakel, one time Shabbos comes from Mishkan, then Shabbos, and then in Vayakel was Shabbos, then Mishkan. It was beautiful learning from Moshe Koram. If you missed it, you could go back online and catch this year. So let us get right into our learning today. We are learning about different aspects of Mishkan that correspond to Shabbos. So he went to the Big Day Kohuna, Big Day Shabbos. The Shulchan that they had in the Beis HaMikdash and the Shulchan that we have in our home. The menorah and the candle lighting that we have, the Erev Shabbos, the Shabbos Lech, corresponds to the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. So what we're talking about now is eating from the korbanos. And Rav Shimshon Pinkas is discussing that the status of the korban, the meat of the korban, who does it belong to? It's so apropos, as this week's precious Vayikra. It's all about korbanos. So we're on page 61 to 62 of the Sefer. Just a brief recap, okay? When a person eats from a korban, the kasha is, halachically, does the meat belong to him? That's what he asked, page 61. So he gives a mashal. Let's say a man performs kiddushin. He wants to betroth a woman. So nowadays, says Rav Pinkas, the groom gives the bride a gold ring while standing under the chuppah. But halachically, he could perform kiddushin with any object worth at least shava pruta, something that is worth equal to a pruta. He can perform kiddushin. So the kasha is, if he wants, I'm just giving a brief recap. I'm not going through this in depth at all. Okay. The Gemara, however, explains one cannot perform kiddushin with a portion of meat from a korban. Why not? If you could give something that's shava pruta, so certainly a piece of meat that is from the korban would be more than a pruta. However, the Gemara says the man receives the portion mishulchan gvoha, from the table of the Most High. So what does that mean? Says Rav Pinkas. Here we go. Page 62. When a person eats lunch at his friend's house, the halachic authorities debate when the food he eats, who does it belong to? Does it belong to him or does it belong to his host? In other words, may the guest take the food home with him, either to eat it or to do with it what he wishes. Is it his or is it the host? But in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no question. According to all opinions, in the Beis HaMikdash, he's eating Mishulchan Goa from the table of the One Most High. The food definitely, says Rav Pinkas, belongs to Kosh Baruch Hu. And Kosh Baruch Hu invites this Jew to partake of his table. It's so apropos for Vayikra, because this week's parasha is all about the first five prakam of Sefer Virko. What's it all about? It's all about korbanos. And we learn that the meat is not his property, so he can't perform kedushin with it. No, you cannot betroth the woman with this piece of meat from the korban because it's not your food. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. The item that for with which you betroth it must belong to you. The meat of a korban does not belong to you. Why? Because it's mishulchan v'gvoah. It belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam. What does this all have to do with Shabbos? What does this all have to do with Shabbos? Remember, we're talking about aspects of the Mishkan / Mikdash that correspond to Shabbos. So too with the Shabbos table, says Rav Pinkas. Now, we're not saying halachically speaking, if a man performs kedushin with Shabbos food, she's not betrothed to him. Because halachically speaking, the food of Shabbos belongs to you. Even though everything in the world belongs to Ribono Shel Olam, we understand, including the ring that today the groom uses to betroth the bride, everything belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam. But you go to the store, you paid for the food. So halachically speaking, the food on your Shabbos table does belong to you. What we are saying, however, is that the idea is the same, says Rav Pinkas. On Shabbos, what we have to know is that we're sitting at Hashem's table. And on Shabbos, we're eating the food of the Ribono Shel Olam. What do we say in Zmiris? Dahi sudasa da atika kadisha. This is the meal of the Holy Ancient One. I once asked someone, says Rav Pinkas, what he thinks this means. And he answered me, says Rav Pinkas, it means we're inviting Hashem to our table. Rav Pinkas says, no, it is exactly the opposite. On Shabbos, Hashem invites us to his table. On Shabbos, Hashem is the host, and he is Machnis Orchim. He welcomes us. We are the guests. Shabbos Kodesh resembles the Beis HaMikdash. We sit at Hashem's table, and we partake of Hashem's food. So it's very interesting, because I told you, I prepare the same thing like 4 or 5 times. I always prepare ahead. Extra, I don't plan on it, it just ends up I don't get to where I'm gonna be up to, and then I re-prepare always before the next year, not what I prepared last time. I always go and re-prepare again. So a number of weeks ago I was reading Rav Avigdor Miller, okay, so I'll tell you many weeks ago, Rav Avigdor Miller Beshalach, right, in Vayikra, Beshalach to Yisro Mishpatim Truma Tetzavik Tisa Vayakal Pekudei Vayikra. So 2 months ago, so that means this has been sitting with Sefer for a long time, okay? I was reading with Avigdor Miller, Torah of Avigdor, on Parshas Beshalach, and it's called The Gift of Shabbos. Why? Because in Beshalach, it's not Yisro, it's not Zachor, Shem HaShabbos Kacho, so what's going on? No. In Beshalach, the man falls for the first time. In Perek Tesayin of Beshalach, the Yidden left Egypt, and Shvi Shal Pesach is Kriyas Yamsuf, which is also in Beshalach, coming up to Pesach, Shvi Shal Pesach. After Kriyas Yamsuf, the people journey on. Okay. And what happens in Perek Tes Zayin of Beshalach, the man falls for the first time. And when the man falls for the first time, if you look there in Parshas Beshalach, what you'll actually see is that we learn more about Shabbos than actually about the man. So the Shlishis, the Araisa, is from the Parsha of the man. Lach to Lachem Yomayim, they have to gather for 2 days. You can't gather on Shabbos, gather 2 portions on Yom HaShishi. So we learn much about Shabbos from the man. And therefore, Parshas Beshalach of Avigdor Miller is speaking about Shabbos. And he talks about specifically the joy of being at the Shabbos table and the Shabbos food. So it is so connected to what Shem Shem Pikas is speaking about. And we're all preparing for Shabbos. We all sit down. We have to know that when you sit down tonight to your Shabbos Seuda, you're not sitting down to your table. You are a guest at the table of the Ribon Shalom, which helps us understand why we need Big Day Shabbos, Zmiro Shabbos, Mother Shabbos jewelry, Shabbos tichel, Shabbos clothing, because you are a guest at the table of Hashem. How would you go if you were a guest at the table of a very important person? You would go looking appropriate for that meal, acting appropriate for that meal. Havda alf, a billion havdalos. How much more so when you're sitting at the table, Mishulchan Gvoa, of the Ribon Shalom. We have to look like we're sitting at the table of the Ribbono Shel Olam and act like we're sitting at the table of the Ribbono Shel Olam and appreciate that we're sitting. So I'm going to quote from Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Torah of Avigdor Beshalach. Endless gifts. Endless gifts. Now, he says, this is a subject we will not be able to do justice to at all because it would need not 1 hour. It would need weeks and weeks and weeks, and even then we wouldn't finish. But we'll make an attempt, he says, to talk about some of the things that are in the grand garden of Shabbos. A few examples of what Shabbos means to Am Yisrael, in the sense that Shabbos is a fountain. It is a well. It is a gush of blessing of mitzvos, and it makes it impossible to calculate the benefits of Shabbos. I know, the whole week, that's what really Shir Shayam, the whole week. When you say Shir Shayam, we're really counting down to finally, it's going to be Shabbos. Among the blessings of Shabbos, that one that comes to mind first is that it is a national day of rest. Not only in the sense of the Lama Tes Malachos, that's why Parshas Vayakal begins with, we learned it last time, 2 weeks ago, Parshas Vayakal begins with Shabbos, because even, we have Lama Tes Malachos to build the Mishkan, but when Shabbos comes, we cease all work. But I am talking about actual rest, a cessation from the grind of the work week. So Rav Shimshon Pinkas is actually talking about physical rest, not only from Melechus Mech Shabbos, but actual rest. Do you know what it means when a person is forced to take a rest on Shabbos? He says it's a lifesaver. Many Jews are hustlers and businesses never close. When there's an opportunity to make money, a lot of people don't know when to stop. Some stores, the sign says, open 7 days a week. People are tired, they're broken down, and they're overworked. My father-in-law, who's joining us, I welcomed him before, if you were here yourself, Abba, said to me a few years ago, saying that always stuck in my head, and I've quoted many times, that Shabbos should be an ir mikvah. All week you're running, You're escaping, you're doing, you're busy. When you come to Shabbos, it should be a city of refuge. It takes you away from the whole week. And that's what Rav Shimshon Pinchas is saying. It's a dangerous thing, because today we are not with Pinchas, but Victor Miller, even though Pinchas is also saying the same thing. We're overworked, we're tired, we're broken down. Many people have even left this world early because of that. They were never able to enjoy the fruits of their labor. And others, when they finally retire, broken people, they have a bad heart, they have health issues. The grind of the work week grinds them down. And when they finally retire, they're sick. They're not able to enjoy retirement. We spend so much time, you know the famous saying, no one on their deathbed ever said, gee, I wish I spent more time in the office. And along comes the blessing of Shabbos. One day every week. It's like early retirement. He says we get to retire one day a week in the prime of our lives. We don't retire to an old age home. We don't retire to a doctor's appointment in Manhattan. We retire to our home, to family, good meals, and happy times. That's what the Kuzari points out. The Kuzari says a Jew gets to retire every week for one day while he's still young. And I mean Shabbos. He's talking about physically. He says Shabbos is a blessing for your health. The Yom Menucha actually becomes a day of recovery and convalescence from the labor of the week. So besides for all the spiritual benefits of Shabbos, there are actual physical benefits to Shabbos as well. You have menucha, you have cessation from work, you have yishuv hadas, you have good food, you have nice wine, ein simcha al bebasar v'al simcha al bebeayin. We sit down at the table, basar v'dag, v'chol minei matamim. We take time, we take leisure, we're not rushed, we're not running anywhere, we're not pressured, we're not hectic, you're not even quick. And it's a day of physical benefit as well. And, says Rav Victor Miller, just the fact that a person rests and that he sleeps, it's rehabilitation, not to work. Now, most people who don't work won't appreciate the subject, but working people, you wait for Shabbos. Oh, you can hardly wait till Shabbos comes. Ah, Shabbos, it's ta'anug, not to work. It doesn't mean, he says, you should climb into your pajamas and remain in bed all Shabbos. There are too many other Shabbos blessings you'll lose out on if you sleep all day. But there's no question, sleep is important for health. Many, many, many studies have proven and continue to prove that sleep is so important for health. You say not to take your devices to your bedroom. The blue light mixes up your circadian rhythm. Okay, not to exercise too close to bed, not to eat too close to bed. Sleep is very important for health. That's a proven medical fact. And therefore, included in the Schar Shabbos, because of Shabbos, many people are able to survive the week. Because of the physical, he's talking about physical benefits. He's not talking about the spiritual benefits right now. Just physically. So look at the godless of Torah. Hashem understands what we need to survive. And he built in to our week something that rejuvenates us. Vayinafash. Shabbos was given a nefesh. Shabbos rejuvenates us spiritually. And Shabbos also rejuvenates us physically. But it's not only a day of rest. Shabbos' day is also menuchas ha-nefesh. It's also a day of spiritual rest. You know what a prophylactic, what a healing this is? One day, their mind is weak, like my father said. It's an ir mikla. You run away, it's an escape from the whole rest of the world that's hounding you, that's chasing you. The fact is that many Jews would have worn themselves out with worry and anxiety, but every week Shabbos comes. And on Shabbos, we banish these thoughts from our head. We aren't even allowed to talk about them. If a Jew expresses worry or work concerns on Shabbos, we say, Shabbos, don't talk about it. That's halacha, it's Shulchan Aruch. That's how it's supposed to be. We don't talk about anything sad on Shabbos. We don't talk about stress on Shabbos. We don't talk about work and we don't talk about business. And so for one day, we have respite. A rest from always. I mean, I'm sure you, like me, I wait the whole week for Shabbos. I'm so happy when Shabbos finally comes. And there's no question the psychological benefit is invaluable. You know what that means in terms of health, says Rav Pinchas? It's a blessing upon blessing upon blessing, health and life. So Shabbos gives us not only vayinafash, an extra nefesh, the neshama yisera, an extra dose of spirituality. But Shabbos is restorative physically as well. People pay a lot of money. You go to a spa, people pay a lot of money for massages, people pay a lot of money for a dietitian. They're all very nice things. You should know that Hashem gives us a tremendous gift, and it comes automatically every 7 days, and it's called Shabbos. If once every 6 days you take a vacation and you enjoy life, it's going to make the other 6 days very different. The whole week becomes different because the whole week you have something to look forward to. The Jew lives a happy, optimistic life, just thinking that every week he gets to go on vacation. His life is punctuated with relaxation. He's optimistic, he's capable, he's relaxed in body and mind. Shabbos means Oneg Shabbos. On the seventh day, it's a special mitzvah to have a good time in this world. And now he starts to talk about eating. And that's what Pinchas is speaking about, the Shochan Vashem. When you eat, you're supposed to eat well. The karbanas were roasted meat. I don't know, I didn't never taste them. But it was so complicated halachically. I don't know if I was there, I would be able to taste. Very complicated halachically, very, 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 very beyond the scope of anything I can understand. But it's good meat. It's good food. You're eating on Shabbos, Mishulchan Gvoa. That's why in Shabbos, we're required to eat things that we like and to add a third meal. We have three meals. Even if you're a poor man, whatever you're eating, you should think it's delicious. A piece of bread, how delicious it is on Shabbos. And whatever extra you have, even more than that. And now he's talking about Shabbos being a day of pleasure. So it's interesting, this piece by Rabbi Avigdor Miller, is that usually we talk about the spiritual benefits of Shabbos, and there are many, and the restoration to the soul on Shabbos, and the heightened elevation of the neshama, the extra tefillos, the extra zkmiros, the divrei Torah, the learning. But now we're talking about something else. And Rabbi Avigdor Miller is just pointing out that Shabbos has physical benefits as well. And you're allowed to, and you're supposed to, and you should enjoy the physical benefits. Sleep is a physical benefit. It's something that's physically important for your health. You should enjoy your sleep on Shabbos. You should have your rest on Shabbos. You should go away from the work week on Shabbos. You should understand that it gives you physical longevity. And now he's talking about eating. There's one tzaddik who used to gorge himself every Shabbos to taste more and more food. I'm not recommending you do that, says Rabbi Avigdor Miller. You shouldn't do things that are injurious to your health. But there's no question, it's a big mitzvah to put on the table every kind of delicacy that one can afford on Shabbos. Rabbi Pinchas on the next page is going to quote from the Gemara, the difference between Hillel and Shammai. We're going to go into the Gemara, Maseches Beitza, when we get up to there and see that it is very important to buy delicacies for Shabbos, to think the whole week about preparing for Shabbos. Whatever you can afford, you must put on the table in every way to honor Shabbos. Now, I have to explain something to you. Some people do not appreciate what Oneg Shabbos is capable of doing for a person. Oneg Shabbos is one of the brachos of Shabbos that is capable of transforming a person's life. It's not my own word. I don't remember where I heard it many years ago. But Nega, Rem Vayikra, Vayikra Tzav Shmi Tezriya Mitzorah. Okay, after Pesach comes Tezriya Mitzorah. And we learn about Nega Tzoraas. Nega is Nun Gimel Ayin. But if you scramble the letters of Nega, it spells Oneg. Now we know everything in Lashon HaKodesh is with intent and Kavana. Nothing is an accident. So what Shabbos does is it takes the Nega of the week, what plagues us during the week, and it transforms it into Oneg. It's not just that Oneg Shabbos is a piece of challah and a plate of challahs and potato kugel, and it's not just having some special candy, and it's not a fine glass of wine, it's not sitting around in an Oneg Shabbos. The goddess of Oneg Shabbos is that it makes the nega that afflicts us the whole week, the worries of the week, the stress of the week, the work of the week, the errands of the week. It takes that Oneg and it turns it into nega. That's the beauty of Shabbos. No! I know, I said it wrong. It takes the nega and it turns it into oneg, which is the greatest delight there is. So you see the koach of Shabbos to transform something that is so debilitating into something that is so beautiful. Shabbos is a day to enjoy. In order to feel how great the kindness of Hashem is to us, Shabbos commemorates the creation of the world. Out of nothing, Hashem made this world a yesh me'ayin, he is the borei olam. And Hashem made a world of kindness for us. And one of the best ways of remembering this truth is through your stomach. That's what he says. You should feel the kindness of Hashem and the taste of Shabbos. That bite of challah. And you think, ah, Hashem created this out of nothing. And then another bite. Olam chesed yibana. He did this amazing kindness for me to enjoy. And once you begin practicing this, your life becomes a different life. It adds to the happiness of Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos takes you a pleasure into the weekdays as well. Shabbos is a day of happiness. With family, sitting around the table, singing zmiros, eating good food. Shabbos changes the whole week and your whole life is different. When we start to appreciate what he's saying, here's the food of Shabbos. When we take the bite of challah, my kids say there's nothing like, we start with the chicken soup Friday night, dips and challah and chicken soup. So the kids say that there's nothing like the taste of challah with chicken soup. So you should appreciate that this came. Yesh me'ayin. When you sit down and you physically eat the food, you should think, where did this wheat come from? Where did this soup come from? Where did the vegetables for it come from? Where did the water come from? It all came from nothing. Gives you a heightened sense of the Ribbono Shel Olam. All that comes through Oneg Shabbos. Furthermore, when we rest on Shabbos, says Rav Pinchas, Rav Avigdor Miller, we turn inwards. We don't go to work. We don't go to school. We don't travel. We're at home. Even on the street, we have to be careful. A ball is thrown by a baseball game, by non-Jews who are playing in the street, and they say, give me back the ball. You can't do it. I once passed a ball field near Downstate Hospital where medical students were playing. The ball came over the fence. They said, please throw us the ball. I said, I'm sorry, I can't. So they said, thank you, Rabbi. It was very embarrassing. The medical students were thinking, here's a rabbi. He must be a mean fellow. Actually, I'm not. On weekdays, I would pick up and throw it back to them, but not on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we're protected. We are in a holy environment. The Am Kadosh retires to their home, separate from the outside world. Similar to the Karban Pesach, Parshas Bo, how did we have to eat the Karban Pesach? V'atam el teitzu ish mi Pesach beso ad boker. Na'alechem b'raglecha, ma'aklecham b'yadchem, lechad oso b'chipazon. But not only did the staff have to be in the hands, and the shoes have to be on the feet, and you have to eat the Karban Pesach in haste. V'atam el teitzu ish mi Pesach beso ad boker. The concept of bias, the concept of when we left Mitzrayim, the foundation of Am Yisrael, which is the Jewish home. And that's what we recreate every single week on Shabbos. You're not allowed to go out. Well, we are. Of course, you could leave your house. We're not busy with the outside world. You sit with your family at the table. You enjoy good food. You take a nice nap. You sing Zmiros. We have restorov, physically rest, and restoration spiritually. We eat meals on Shabbos, says Rabbi Victor Miller. We put on special garments for Shabbos, and we rest. But the entire time we're in a sanctuary. And that's really what Pinchas is teaching us. That just like there was a Mishkan and a Beis HaMikdash, Shabbos is the same sanctuary that we can recreate. It's a period of sacred diversion, of holy occupation. We're with family, community, and friends for one day. The Jew is alone with Am Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's one of the blessings of Shabbos. It is a refuge. Abba, he says it's a refuge. Ir Mikla. It's a refuge for our nation. And from that comes forth boundless mitzvahs and boundless blessings. So we see that there's a very special holy inyan. So yes, food is very gashmiistic, but on Shabbos, you're eating from the Shulchan Shel Gva. You're eating from the food of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is boundless blessings if we appreciate and understand and be mindful of the fact that we're eating from the table of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, moving on. So we're on the bottom of page 62. So we have discussed parallels between the Mishkan. This whole section started on page 54, by the way. And it is called Finding the Beis HaMikdash in Your Shabbos. So first he spoke about forgiveness of sin, just like there's atonement for sin through the Karbanos, atonement of sin through Shabbos. Then he spoke about the priestly garments, the Big Day Kahuna, which we learned all about in Tetzava, and then again we'll have them in Sav and next week's Sedra. The priestly garments, we have Big Day Shabbos, to make sure we look like a Shabbos when Shabbos comes. Then he spoke about the menorah, we have Shabbos Licht. Then he spoke about bathing, the kiyar and the mikvah for the Kohanim. We bathe in honor of Shabbos. Then he spoke about the table and eating from Karbanos. And we also just spoke about the table and eating from Hashem's food, just like when they ate from Karbanos. Okay, now we come to, it's called borrowing on my account. For your reference, we're learning the Sefer Nefesh Shem Shon Shabbos Kodesh, making the most of Shabbos, inspiring insights into the meaning and purpose of Shabbos. If you have, we're on the bottom of page 62. Okay. Now, we just explained about the Shabbos table, sheds light on the following statement of Chazak. Now, he quotes from the Gemara, Maseches Beita, Tezvav Amar Beis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yisrael, my children, borrow on my account and sanctify the day of Shabbos through Kiddush Over. Why? Have faith in me and I will pay. So Hashem says, you can borrow on my account. And then the Gemara tells us, in Maseches Beita, he now quotes from Beita, Tez Zayin Av. So I'm actually going to quote the Gemara inside. Okay? I'm going to quote where Pinchas is now quoting inside. So Hashem says, you could borrow on my account. Interesting. On Shabbos, not only is it Hashem's table and Hashem's food, Hashem's wine, it's also Hashem's bank account. What does the Gemara say? Which is where Pinchas quotes. Okay, here we go. I'm in Beit HaTazayin Aleph. Kol mizonosav shel Adam kitzuvim lo. All of a person's mizono, sustenance, is fixed for him. May Rosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippurim. But the Gemara says that all of a person's sustenance, income, food, mizonos, is fixed for each year. May Rosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippurim. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippurim. I'm going to quote what Rashi says. Rashi and the Gemara says as follows. Kol masha asid lihistaker b'shana, shiye nazun misham, katsuv lo kach v'kach histaker b'shana zu. So Rashi says that everything that in the future, meaning that year, a person will earn in that year, that through which he will be sustained, is fixed. This and this, yistaker b'shanazu. So by the Yamim Noraim, Hashem stamps and seals and says, everything that in the future, meaning in this year, you will earn as wages, which will be your sustenance, is fixed for you. This and this amount, he will earn this year. V'yesh lo lizaher. And therefore, a person has to be financially responsible. I'm quoting Rashi in the Gemara. Mila asosiyat siya meruba. You have to be careful not to make extravagant purchases. Shalo yosifu lo schar lemezonos. Because God's not going to add. Hashem fixed your income. So you can spend whatever you want. You can't take lavish vacations beyond your means. You can't buy cars that are beyond your means. You can't buy jewelry beyond your means. And then say, oh, Hashem will take care of it. I have a muna, and Hashem will pay for this extravagant vacation. Now, if you could afford the extravagant vacation, go and enjoy. But if you can't afford it, you can't be financially irresponsible and Hashem will take care of it. That's not how it works. Your mizonos have been fixed by the time of the Yamim Noraim. Mi Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim kol mizonos ha'adam ketuvim lo from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur. So that's it. You have to be financially responsible. And therefore Rashi says, Yesho li zahir. Mi laso yitziya miruba shalo yosifu lo schar mizonos. You have to be very careful not to make extravagant purchases beyond what you can financially afford. Ala masha pasculo, because there was a psak din given. The psak was, this person will earn X amount of dollars. And therefore, shalo yosifulo schar mazonos. You're not going to be added to your wages, what you're going to earn. That you're ala masha pasculo, only what was given in the, by the psak and shemayim, that's what you're going to earn. So that's how Rashi explains the Gemara, what it means, kol mazonos sha'adam ketsuvim bo. There's a set amount of what you're going to... Now, you have to do your hishtadlus. It comes about through hishtadlus. But whatever you're meant to earn, whatever was decreed you're going to earn, you're going to earn. There's a caveat. So what should I do? We just learned we have to dress for Shabbos. Shabbos clothing costs more than regular clothing. I'm not saying you have to go into, I don't know, what's a fancy store? I don't shop in them. I'm not saying you have to go into the most fancy, most expensive store. I don't know. On a Rodeo Drive or in Fifth Avenue, Manhattan, and buy the most expensive clothes. But you have to look like a Shabbos. And you have to have a nice ticha for Shabbos. And if you have nice jewelry, wear it on Shabbos. And if you have special meats, serve them on Shabbos. So now I have a problem. Rashi just said you have to be careful. Don't make extravagant purchases. But on the other hand, I'm sitting at the table of the One Most High. And I have to bedeck Shabbos appropriately. Like a kala should be bedecked. So too Shabbos. Boi kala, boi kala. Oh, so the Gemara says, Chutz mehotza'a Shabbosos ve'otza'as yamim tovim. It's true. All of your income is fixed for the year. And it's true you should have to be financially responsible and not make extravagant purchases that you can't afford. Then you're going to go into debt. God's not going to bail you out. You're going to have to do your status to bail. You're going to have to lot of tefillah, but you weren't financially responsible. Chutz mehotzah shabbosos vehotzah yamim tovim. Except for what? Except for the exception of what he spends on Shabbos, shabbosos, and what he spends on yamim tovim. And one more. Mautzatz ban of the Talmud Torah. What a person spends on chinuch, what a person spends to make Shabbos beautiful, oneg Shabbos, takes you away from the nega of the week. Oneg Yom Tov, Simchas Yom Tov, particularly apropos, as you come up to the Yom Tov of Chag HaPesach. Mautzatz ban of the Talmud Torah. These three areas you can borrow on Hashem's account. So here we go. Kol mizonosav sha'adam ketsuvim lo, we learn Rashi, Merosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim, chutz me'otzah shabbosos, v'otzah yomim tovim, v'otzah banav v'talmud Torah. She'im pachas, pochasin lo. If he spends less, he receives less. V'im hosif, but if he spends more, mosifin lo. He receives more. And therefore, they do not diminish your actual income. Because if you spend more for Shabbos, Hashem will increase your income so you'll be able to afford it. If you spend more to honor Yom Tov, Hashem will increase your income. So specifically because of Shabbosos and Yomim Tovim, says the Gemara. And so too, to send your child for Talmud Torah, which is particularly relevant today with tuitions, how they are. Hashem pays the bills. You have to know that Hashem is responsible and Hashem is taking care of your Shabbos food and your Shabbos needs, your Yom Tov needs, your Yom Tov food, and also sending your children to learn Torah. The amount a person is allotted for these mitzvos is not fixed in advance. Rather, depending on what he spends on these mitzvos, article footnote, the profitability of his ventures is increased or decreased accordingly. So if you are chas v'shalom cheap with Shabbos, then you will have less to spend. And if you spend beautifully for Shabbos, you will have more to spend. Okay? That's what Pinchas is saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yisrael, my children borrow on my account. and sanctify the day of Shabbos, have faith in me and I will pay. That's what Pinchas quoted. That's really what the Gemara is telling you. Hashem says, don't worry. I will take care of you. I will honor Shabbos when you honor Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, it was Tana Brisa. I'm still in Beitza, Tes Zayin Aleph. Amru Alav al Shammai Hazakin. And now the Gemara is going to tell us the different approaches of Hilla and Shammai for honoring Shabbos with different delicacies, keeping with the topic that we are learning today, which is that we are eating Mishulchan Gvoa, and that there are physical benefits of what Victor Miller teaches to Shabbos. It's not just spiritual benefits. There are mamish restoration of the body through the sleep, through the leisure, through the good food, through having time to sit at the table. We benefit from that. Amru alav al Shammai Hazakain. It was said about Shammai the elder. Kol yamav haya ocha l'kavod Shabbos. Shammai would always eat in honor of Shabbos. What does that mean? Matzah behema na'a. If he came across a beautiful animal at any time during the week, Amru zula Shabbos. You would say, I'm putting this animal aside for Shabbos. So today you could say you find a nice piece of meat in the supermarket that's already prepackaged and kashered and shechted and kashered and cleaned and all ready to go into the oven. It used to be matzah behema na. Your mamish came across a nice animal. Amru zula Shabbos. You would say, this animal's for Shabbos. Matzah acheres na ahimena. Let's say that was on Yom Sheni, on the very nice animal. You said, this is for Shabbos. Now Yom Revi'i comes. It's 2 days later. Oh, wow, wait a minute. Matzah acheres nahimena. I found something even nicer than the first animal. Maniach es hashnia. So what should he do? He would leave the second one for Shabbos, v'ochal sarishona. And he would eat the first one. Thus, Shammai's weekday meals, art school commentary, were deemed to be in honor of Shabbos, since the inferior animal was eaten and the superior one is reserved for Shabbos. So in other words, the Gemara is telling you that kol yamav haya ochel kavod Shabbos. It doesn't mean all his life in this case. It means every day of the week he was eating an honor of Shabbos. He was always thinking when he found the nice animal, he said, this is for Shabbos. But then a day later he found the nicer one. He said, oh wait, I'm going to eat the first one now, today. I need to be sustained today also. And the nicer one is going to be for Shabbos. And so he would continue the whole week. So ultimately the nicest thing he found in the week was always reserved for Shabbos. So in this way, his mind, this is Shammai Hazakain, his mind was always on Shabbos, because the whole week he was considering which food he's going to be using for Shabbos. What about Hillel? Okay. Aval Hillel Hazakain, Mida Acheres Haiso. But Hillel Hazakain had a different measure. He behaved differently. What did he used to do? Shekal Mas of the Shem Shemaim. All his actions were done for the sake of heaven. He was sure that he would find a fitting animal for Shabbos when the need arose. Art scroll footnote. It is obvious, because the Gemara has just said, that Hillel Hazakain had a different midah, a different measure. Shekal Mas of the Shem Shemaim. All his deeds were for the sake of heaven. So what could you ask? Does that mean that the Gemara doesn't say that Shabbos' actions were for the sake of heaven? The Gemara just says that whatever animal Shammai found, he would say it's for Shabbos. If he found a better one, he would put that one aside and say, this one's for Shabbos. When the Gemara comes to Hillel, it says, Hillel zakeh midacher ha'isel asher kol ma'aseh l'shem shemayim. So just a minute. Art school footnote, quoting the Shita Mikubatzas, it's obvious that Shammai's actions were also for the sake of heaven, because he spent much money in anticipation of the Shabbos meals. But the Gemara points out that Hillel, who at first glance did not seem to be concerned about a Shabbos meals, was also acting for the sake of heaven. So what the Gemara is telling you is that we don't have to state that Shammai is acting for the sake of heaven. Obviously, he's acting for the sake of heaven, because every time he goes to the shuk, every time he goes to the farm, every time he goes to the marketplace, all Shammai is thinking is, what's a nicer piece, a nicer vegetable, a nicer roast, a nicer wine? That one will be set aside for Shabbos. So the Gemara is saying that obviously Shammai was l'shem Shemayim. The Gemara doesn't want you to think that Hillel wasn't l'shem Shemayim, because he is a different approach. So the Gemara makes a point of saying Hillel midacharis haisel shakal mas of l'shem Shemayim. Shanemar, what was Hillel's way? Hillel's way was different. Hillel's way was Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. That's what the Gemara says. Hillel's method was Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, which is from Tehillim 68:20 Samechas Chaf. Many authorities explain Hillel agreed Shammai's conduct in preparing for Shabbos is preferable for most people. However, Hillel himself, most commentators agree that Hillel agreed that Shammai's conduct in preparing for Shabbos is preferable for most people. So for most people, if you're in the marketplace and we find something beautiful, it's appropriate to say, if it's Yom Sheni or Yom Shlishi, I set this aside for Shabbos. If it needs to be refrigerated, you refrigerate it. If it has a stable shelf life, good. If it needs to go in the freezer, then you freeze it. Most authorities agree, but Hillel agreed that Shammai's conduct for Hamon Am is the appropriate conduct. When you find something special, you should set it aside for Shabbos. You don't know if you find something on Yom Shlishi, if you're going to find something beautiful on Yom Chamishi as well. That's what Hillel Shammai teaches us. Should say right now, this is for Shabbos. However, for Hillel himself, he had an extraordinary amount of faith. He wanted to rely on God. He did rely on God to find him the food for Shabbos just when he needed it. However, for others who do not live on that level, we are advised to set aside food for Shabbos at the beginning of the week. This is actually quoting the Mishnah Brura. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah Paschal Zichavetz Chaim says that the halacha is, for the regular people, what should we do? We're not Hillel Zachin. We should learn from Shammai. And first of all, of course, you should say Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. But if you do find something beautiful in the marketplace earlier in the week, it is appropriate to set it aside for Shabbos. Now, if you find something nicer and you want to use that one up, okay, good. But if you find something very special for Shabbos, you should say, this is for Shabbos. I got a new tichel the other day. Wednesday evening, I ran over to my friend, Alana Moskowitz, and very talented tichel creator. So I got a new tichel. It's so beautiful. Actually, I really had a Yetzer Hara to wear it yesterday. It's really stunning. It's like blues and browns. It's gorgeous. I said, no. I found something beautiful in the shuk. I have to set aside for Shabbos. And I really did want to wear it. I have many shir, Baruch Hashem, a number of shirim yesterday morning, evening, whatever. Like Esti Klein joined shir, so too my Yetzer Hara, Baruch Hashem, did not win out. I said, no, you find something beautiful in the marketplace, you'll have to save it for Shabbos. So now I'm deciding if I should save it for Shabbos or save it for Chag HaPesach. I don't know, but wearing it for Shabbos is a beautiful thing. So if you find something beautiful in the marketplace, you don't know if you're going to find another one. I don't think I'm going back to it before Shabbos. I don't think I'm going back to it before Pesach, but you never know. So you have to set aside for Shabbos. So Hillel would say on his level, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, Hashem will help me find something more beautiful. I'll go wear the new tichel on Thursday, I'm Chamishi, because I know on Yom Shishi I'll find another one. From Michal Horowitz, you have to learn from Shammai, who said, I'm setting this aside for Shabbos. And I was successful, thank God, in not wearing it, even though it was really gorgeous and I really wanted to. I said, no, I have to save it for Shabbos. Okay. That's what the Gemara says. So that's what, and this is the piece, by the way, that Rav Shimshon Pinchas quotes. He's quoting from the Gemara in Tes Zayin Aleph. I just thought it would be nice to do the Gemara inside with Rashi and the commentary of Art School as well, to understand that we can borrow from the bank account, so to speak, the infinite bank account of the Ribbono Shel Olam. One more piece of the Gemara continues, which is very beautiful. Pinchas doesn't quote it, but it's a very, very special idea, so I will continue and quote it still on Tes Zayin Aleph. Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina says, Hanosin matana lechaveru Ein sarich lodio. Rabbi Chaim Rabbi Chamina says, one who gives a gift to his friend does not need to inform him. Okay, how do you know? Because the pasuk says, end of kiti salam and dalin, Moshe lo yada ki karn arpana b'dabar vito. Moshe did not know his face was beaming, the skin of his face was beaming with light when Hashem spoke to him. He didn't know that the face was beaming with light from his interaction with God. Oh, the Gemara says, because he didn't know, when you give a matana to your friend, you don't have to let them know. However, the Gemara challenges this, because the Gemara says, however, there's a pasuk that says, Lada'as ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. They have to know, Shemos 31:13, that I, Lamed Alf Kitisa, Lamed Alf Yagimma, to know that I am God who sanctifies you. Speaking about Shabbos. So Hashem says about Shabbos, Lada'as. Shabbos is to know that I am God who sanctifies you. Amar lo kosh baruch hu Moshe. Kosh baruch hu said to Moshe, Moshe, matana tova yeshli beveis ginazai. Shem said about Shabbos, Moshe, I have a beautiful present saved away in my storehouse. I have a wonderful gift in my treasure house. The Shabbos Shema, the name of my gift is Shabbos. Ani mevakesh lifna the Yisrael. And I want to give Shabbos, this present, to my nation Israel. Leich vahodi osam. So Hashem said to Moshe, go and let them know. So do you have to tell when you give your friend a gift? You should or you shouldn't. Mikan Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. From here, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel learns out. Hano sein pas latinoch tzarich lodil l'amo. L'imo. Hano sein pas latinoch tzarich lodil imo. So from here, the Gemara learns out. that if a person gives a piece of bread, it means something, a treat. Today you have to be careful, don't give kids anything, ask if they have allergies, if they're allowed to eat it, if they're chavisha, just saying you have to be careful today, the world's a little bit different, but someone you know, someone you're close to, the point is that the Gemara is learning, Shimon Gamliel learns out, when you give a gift to a child, let the mother know. So you could say, why do I have to let the mother know? In other words, why do I have to let a person know when I give a gift? Maybe it should just be anonymous. We're not talking about tzedakah. You give a gift to a friend. So why do you have to let the friend know that you did something nice for them? Why? Because it engenders feelings of goodwill. The Gemara Art School footnote says the person should place some mark on the child. So even if the child eats the food before he comes home to his mother, the mother will see the mark and ask the child where it came from. When the child replies and adds this person gave him some bread, the parents will know the donor is fond of them. This increases love and friendship among Jews. We're not talking about tzedakah. Please don't misunderstand. Okay? Or it should be anonymous. The Aisav is giving someone a job. They shouldn't know who's giving it, and you shouldn't know who you're giving it to. Coming up to Kimcha de Pischa. And Maos Chitim. Maos is money. Chitim for wheat. Kimcha de Pischa is the Aramaic. Flour for Pesach. We're not talking about that. We're talking about camaraderie between friends, between neighbors, between people in the Kehila, between, someone in the Kehila and a Rav. Rabbi Zevlev speaks about this. Remember, I've told it to you. When I was a young Rav in Miami, so he decided he was very, what's the word I'm looking for? He had very pure intentions. I don't know exactly what I'm looking for. If you know, you could post it. And he said, I'm not accepting gifts for anybody, from anybody. I'm not accepting gifts. Doesn't want to take presents. I'm only working here lishkna. I don't want presents. I don't want bribes. I'm not taking anything from anyone. So this went on for a few months until finally one of the Baal Batim came over to him, one of the older Baal Batim. He said, listen, Rabbi, people want to give you presents because it makes them feel good to give a present to the rabbi. It makes them feel chashav. They want to give you presents from Mechiras Chametz, being Masada Kedushin, when they come back from Eretz Yisrael, for your teaching Torah, whatever. They want to give you a present. You don't want to accept it. You could do whatever you want with it. But in your accepting the gift, it gives chashivas to the person. It makes them feel good. Rabbi Zavlav said he learned. He learned from there that it is important to take because you give something to other person. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a beautiful present in my treasure house. Shabbos is its name. Go tell the Bnei Israel I have a present for them. So the Gemara learns out from here that when you do something good for your friend, when you give your friend a present or you give the child a gift, it's important to let the mother know. It's important to let the person who you gave the gift to know. Why? It engenders feelings of goodwill and it engenders ahavas yisra. How much more so vis-a-vis the Ribbon Sha'olam, who gives us a gift. What is the gift he gives us every week? Shabbos. It's not given anonymously. We declare that Shabbos is a commemoration of Briyas Olam and the Borei Olam. Zeichel Amaisa Bereisha, Zeichel Itzias Mitzrayim. We remember the one who sustains all, who creates all, sustains all, provides for all, and engenders feelings of Ahavas Hashem and a love between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. We appreciate the gift that he gave us, which is Shabbos is its name. And when we sit down at the table of the One Most High, Hashem says, borrow on my account. You don't own the meat of the Karban. You don't own the food of Shabbos. It's my table. It's my food. The more you spend on Shabbos, kol mizonos shal adam kivutzim lo. Mirash Hashana v'adiyam kibruim. Chutz from three things. Chutz me, what he spends for Shabbos, Shabbosos, Ramim Tovim, and taking his children to Talmud Torah. So when you sit down tonight at your Shabbos table, when we sit down in our beautiful clothing, with our delicious challah, with your chicken soup, with your beautiful tichel, you should keep in mind with your delicious food, this is all coming from the infinite, endless bank account of the Ribbon Shel Olam. He gave us a beautiful gift. Let us utilize it. Let us grab the spiritual benefits and the physical benefits because it is Shabbos that fuels our entire week. So, allow Shabbos Kol Hashir before Pesach. We thank our sponsor so very much, Tisku Mitzvos L'Maisim Tovim. I wish everybody a beautiful Shabbos to take you from the Neg of the week into the Oneg of Shabbos. And a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. I'll post on the chat, Ezra Hashem, when the next year will be, once I look at the calendar, but it's not after Chag. Okay? L'Shana Hazos B'Yerushalayim Habnuya. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov. Good Shabbos.